So true tonight that Jesus, He's still the answer for whatever may be going on in your life tonight, no matter what it may be. He can still take care of it. He still has control. He still has power tonight. Glad for that fact. Enjoyed that song this evening. Glad just for the presence of God. Well, it's so good to be again with you tonight, and I've just enjoyed being here throughout this week and tonight and tomorrow. It's moves so fast, it seems, as Pastor Ziegler's already mentioned this evening. It just seemed to have flown by, and I've enjoyed my time with you so far. Tonight, I'd ask for you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and I ask for you to stand together as we look at Acts chapter 2. And hoping that God will just again move tonight and God will just help throughout what He has given me this evening. Acts chapter 2 is where we will read, and we'll begin at the first verse of this chapter this evening. Beginning at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. I'm asking my wife to pray this evening. Amen. You may be seated this evening. And tonight, I'm going to focus on a select group of people. And this people group that I want to focus on tonight is the disciples. The disciples. And here in the day of Pentecost, we're going to look through what happened in the disciples' lives. But I think to truly understand what took place at Pentecost in the hearts and the minds and the lives of the disciples, I think we need to step back and look what was happening in their lives before the day of Pentecost and how they acted before this day occurred. And I think it's important for us to realize that. Now, when I look at the disciples before Pentecost, I see two different things. First of all, I see that these disciples were not dependable. They were not always dependable. If we were to turn back into the Gospels in Matthew chapter 26, we would see how the disciples responded to trouble before this day of Pentecost. They tell Jesus in verse number 35 that they would not deny Him. And that they would die with Him. And Peter, he was the loudest of this group. However, in just a few verses, their tune changes. And when the multitude comes to take Jesus, verse 56 says that all the disciples forsook Him and fled. Now, we do know that there was a couple that at least followed, and it was Peter. We give him at least credit. He followed Jesus afar off. Just wanted to see exactly what would happen. But as he went into the courtyard and sat there listening to the trial, even Peter would betray Jesus beyond. When faced with the questions about if he was with Jesus and how his talk betrayed him, it was Peter that denied Jesus. He said he never knew the man. He cursed. And Peter, he had no backbone to him, and he was not dependable for Christ when it came down in the moment. Sure, he wanted to follow God when it was easy. He wanted to follow Christ when there was miracles happening, when there was people around him. But when the going got tough, Peter wasn't fully committed to Christ. And as I said a couple of nights before, Christians not fully and filled with the Holy Ghost are the same way. They can go on serving Christ when things are easy, there's not a lot of pressure, and other friends are around them going the same way. But when friends may falter, may friends may not agree, or things get a little tough, many of them fall by the wayside. It's because they haven't let God continue in the work in their lives, God continue to walk with them and do the second work of grace tonight. And so they're not dependable when the going gets tough. But these disciples were also not only not dependable, but they were also a scared group of individuals. If we were to look at John 20 and 19, it shows how the disciples responded after the crucifixion of Christ. It says this, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut up, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." The disciples, as soon as Jesus had died, had gone, they had locked themselves in the room because they were afraid, they were scared. And truthfully, I don't know if we can really blame them tonight. You know, their leader had just been put to death, and they figured they're next on the chopping block, per se. They were the next in line to be crucified and put away with. And if we were in the same shoes tonight, we would probably be concerned what was going to happen. But these group, they were hiding in this upper room, just waiting, not sure what was going to go on. Sure, they had seen Jesus do all these miracles and throughout his life on earth and while they followed him. But could they actually be sure that this man, he was the real Messiah? They had just watched him die. They had just watched him put to death. And as they sat there in that room, they could only think of themselves and scared and were concerned. And we can face that same fear as Christians today. We can be concerned and sit in this little group, a little huddle, don't want to let the outside world come around us or anything, and we face the same fear. But we find the disciples, their personality, and whatever happened to them changed completely at the day of Pentecost. And if we were to look through Acts chapter 2, and really, it's throughout the book of Acts, we see how God worked and moved through this moment, through this day of Pentecost. We find that at the beginning of chapter 2, that the disciples, they had gathered together with one accord in one place, praying for God to come upon them. They had a purpose. They had a reason for being there. And as they prayed, as they asked God to come, there suddenly came from heaven a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were at, and it filled them with the Holy Ghost, and cloven tongues of fire sat upon them. They had been filled with the Holy Ghost and sanctified within by the burning of fire. And you may ask tonight, what does it exactly mean to be entirely sanctified? What is entire sanctification tonight? The great preacher Oswald Chambers says this: sanctification means intense concentration on God's point of view. It means that every power of body, soul, and spirit is chained and kept for God's purpose only. It will cause an intense narrowing of all our interests here on earth and an immense broadening of our interests in God. Are we prepared for God to do all that He would have for us, all that He has separated us for? And the reason some of us have not entered into this experience of entire sanctification is because we have not realized it from God's standpoint, from God's view tonight. Sanctification means being made one with Jesus, so that that disposition that ruled Him will rule us. Jesus prayed that we might be one with Him as He is with the Father. The one characteristic of the Holy Spirit is that in a person is a strong family likeness to Jesus Christ and freedom from everything that is unlike Him. And that's how Oswald Chambers described entire sanctification tonight. And I would add further, when we give God everything and ask Him to burn out the inbred nature of sin and to be made fully in His likeness tonight, it is God's will that we continue on to this second work of grace. We need to be set apart from God and make sure that we have given everything to Him. And as the disciples had the Holy Ghost fall upon them, there was an outward sign. There was something visible that happened when God moved on the inside of them. The witness of the Spirit. And God will do a witness of the Spirit to us. God will make sure that we know, that we understand, that He has done the work for us in our lives. They wanted God to come just like He had promised them. If we were to look back in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus, He promised the disciples, He said, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." They were claiming the promise that day. They were asking that God would come, that God would do the work, that God would give the Holy Ghost just as he promised, and he did. And we too tonight can claim that same promise that the disciples did. We too can be entirely sanctified this evening. For me, when it came down to the moment of entirely sanctification, being entirely sanctified and giving God everything, God came down to a specific item. And tonight, I'm not going to put in a box or anything. There's multiple different ways this can go about. But for me, it was a specific item. I had been praying to God for a while. I knew that I needed my inbred nature burned out. I wanted God to completely fill me. And it was during a Penview winter revival, I knew that God was speaking to my heart. And when I went up there and I prayed, it was the question of, Terry, if I asked you to give up your phone for me, will you be willing to do it? An area that I still wanted just a little bit of control over. I wanted it just that little bit. But God knew I hadn't surrendered it fully to him yet. And when I did, when I said, God, it's yours fully, it was then that I could claim the promise. And I knew that God had sanctified me, entirely sanctified me within, and had given that peace that settled into my soul. And tonight, I'm not going to say that your moment is the same as mine, because people are different. Some people can come to a crossroads in their life where they decide, this is where I'm fully serving God, no matter the cost. And it's not like a huge monumental thing, but they remember it from that point on, where God gave them a peace, God gave them a filling, and they made a choice for Christ. I've heard of another person who struggled for a while of being entirely sanctified. He kept on giving up everything to God, as so he thought, but he just wouldn't get the work and he couldn't get the victory. And he worked a job where he was on night shift and there was no one else around. And he had a lot of time on his hands. And he spoke to God and asking God, what is it, God? And as he did, God pointed out an area of his life and said, would you be willing to be a failure for me? A failure for me. And this person described his personal testimony. He said, now God, he argued with God a little bit. You know how we do sometimes. We try to reason with God. Now God, I can't really be a failure if you do what I want you to do. And he tried to, you know, beat around the bush a little bit, but God kept on coming back. Would you be willing to be a failure if I asked? Count it as a failure no matter what I said for you to do. But one day he said, God, I'd happily be a failure for you no matter what. And that's when God did the work in his heart that evening. We have to be willing. We must have willing hearts like the disciples did that day at Pentecost in the room. And the change that God made in the lives of these disciples was so extremely drastic. This isn't something that happened over a long period of time. This was radical and instantaneous. And when it first happened, the disciples, they went out and they spoke to the people around him, and the people understood them in their own language. And there they went and they preached. This same group that struggled with persecution and concern and scaredness, they were preaching for Christ. First of all, tonight, I find that these disciples after Pentecost were bold. Peter is the one of the men that I want to focus on tonight. This guy who had denied Christ before, he was now the main preacher here at the day of Pentecost. And if we were to read through the rest of Acts chapter 2 tonight, we would find that Peter preaches a sermon to the congregation there. And as he tells them about their sin, and as he tells them the story of Christ and how he came to earth to die for their sins, it was there that he did not care whether he offended someone, whether someone would arrest him. Peter was totally different than he was earlier. Entire sanctification, the filling of the Holy Spirit, had done this in his heart and his life. God can certainly change a heart and a life, and God can give power for service to make us bold, even when we might not always feel, even though when we might not always want to do it. God can help us to be bold for him. They can be bold for Christ. They did not hold anything back. And when Peter did this, and he finished up his sermon, God did a mighty work. 3,000 souls were saved that day because Peter was bold enough to go out and preach the gospel. And if we were to look throughout the book of Acts tonight, we would see disciple after disciple have this boldness of Jesus because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. A couple of chapters later, we look at Peter and John, and as they were set before the rulers and the elders of the Jews for preaching that Jesus had was resurrected from the dead, they told the rulers the gospel. They told them what God had done, and they were bold even before those same rulers, the ones that could have the power over them. And Peter, he testifies to this baptism of the Holy Ghost that purified his heart in Acts 15:8. He says, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." He made them bold when they gave their hearts and lives to him, and when Christ infilled them with the Holy Ghost and gave them power for service. But not only do I find tonight that the disciples were bold for Christ, but they were also brave. And this bravery I find most on display as the disciples face death. Stephen, we know, is the first martyr for Christ. And it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, that Stephen was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He had the second work of grace in his heart and in his life. And when he was arrested for his faith, he bravely stood the test before those leaders. And he told them the Old Testament and how it pointed to Christ. And he told them of what God had done for them. And he was brave even when he faced likely death. And while he was being stoned, he asked Jesus not to lay this sin to their charge. The Holy Ghost had made him brave unto death. He did not flinch. He did not back down. And it's not like he's a lone example for us in the Bible tonight. If we were to look at all the other disciples, and they might not, their deaths might not be recorded here in the Bible, but if we look throughout history and everything, only one other than Judas Iscariot died a natural death. Only one. Four of them were crucified normal: Andrew, Philip, Thaddeus, and Simon. Peter, he was crucified upside down. James and Matthew were killed with a sword. Bartholomew was beheaded. Thomas was killed with a spear. And James with a club. It does not sound very promising tonight for the disciples. And only John, he escaped these horrible deaths and died of natural causes. But even throughout all the persecution the disciples faced for Christ, we cannot find one instance where one of them denied the faith, but that they stood firm for Christ throughout their deaths, throughout their horrible persecution. These deaths were not someone that scared people would continue on through. No, these disciples, they had to be brave to go through the tests and the trials, even while they were placed on death and through persecution. These were not the same disciples that had run away that garden that evening when Jesus was arrested. No, these disciples were brave because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, because of entire sanctification tonight. And tonight, we need to strive for the second work of grace. So this is not something for just the super spiritual elite per se. No, this is an experience God wants each and every one of us to have. It is a natural outflowing of wanting to serve God, of wanting to have that inbred nature, that inward struggle within gotten rid of. Romans 6:6 says this, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." God wants us to completely, God wants to get rid of completely the inbred nature of sin and to destroy that old nature. God wants us to help us live above sin this evening. We don't have to sin in word, thought, and deed. God can do a work in our heart tonight so that we should not serve sin. You may ask this evening, how can I have this experience? What are the steps involved? What must I do? And I think personally tonight, and there's other indicators tonight, that being sanctified outflows after our salvation. If someone is serving God with their whole heart, and as I talked about last night, being completely obedient and completely saying yes to God, God, he'll bring it up in exactly the time that he needs to. He wants to entirely sanctify us tonight. He wants to infill us fully. God will bring it up. We just must be willing. We must be asking, God, Is there anything? We must be prayerful and mindful. We can't just go into this nilly-willy. We must be careful, asking that God will do it in our hearts and our lives. The disciples, they had a purpose. They were in the room for one accord. And we must be seeking it, seeking God's face, making sure that we hear from heaven. God will speak to us. God will talk to us if we ask Him, if we talk to Him. My story, my significant point per se, was about a phone. But it's going to probably be different in your life. It's not the same tonight. God just wants us to be entirely sanctified. God wants us to be completely receptive to Him tonight. He will do the work if we ask Him, if we believe that He will. And I think that entire sanctification tonight, I know it's a key to our spiritual walk in Christ. If we come up to a certain point and God asks us to go into the work of entire sanctification and we say no, we can only go one way but back. We can't stand still in our Christian walk. And that's why it's important to keep on doing what God has called us to do. He wants to make us bold. He wants to make us brave, just like the disciples. We need to continue on to the second work of grace tonight. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard of the preacher of D.L. Moody. And while Moody is not a holiness preacher tonight, there's an experience in his life where I think he used different terms to describe what I'm talking about here this evening. Moody is talking about, in his autobiography, he says that he was a successful preacher at this point in his life. And as he was preaching in a certain revival, there were these old ladies that would come up to him and ask him every evening if he had been filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't really think he needed any extra filling, but these ladies were insistent that he needed to be filled. And when he prayed with them, a sense of God just moved on his life. And he described it as this: "There came a great hunger into my soul. I did not know what it was, and I began to cry as I never did before. The hunger increased, and I really felt that I did not want to live any longer if I cannot have this power for service." And Moody begged God. Moody pleaded with God to fill him with His Spirit. And one day, God gave him His sweet Holy Spirit, filled him up. Moody said he could not describe the experience except that God revealed Himself to him. He said the sermons certainly didn't seem different. The truths weren't different. Yet hundreds were converted. Hundreds were converted. God, He used D.L. Moody as a powerful servant. And while we may not have the same terms, the same things tonight, it's true throughout his testimony that he was filled with the Holy Ghost and God used him. And tonight, maybe you're a Christian who isn't quite grounded firm tonight. You need God's sanctifying power. Or maybe you haven't been living your Christian life to the fullest for Christ tonight. I'm asking as we stand together this evening, the pianist to come tonight and to softly play. Tonight, you can ask God to entirely sanctify your heart and your life. You can ask Him to make you bold and brave for Christ. For when the tests and trials of God may come, you can stand. You can tell others of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 says this: "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it." Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. God is faithful tonight. He will do the work in your heart, if you want Him to, if He's speaking to you tonight. And I'm not going to pull, I'm not going to tug long this evening, but I want to give you an opportunity tonight. Has God spoken to your heart? Do you need to come seek Him for a fresh outpouring, for a full infilling of His Spirit tonight? Is there an area of control that you've not given to Him? Are you holding something back tonight? Does God want to entirely sanctify you this evening? We're going to pause for a moment as she plays. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, is there anyone this evening wants to come forward and pray. Song she's playing tonight is "You're All on the Altar." Have you yielded your body and soul this evening? Have you given God everything tonight? Anyone want to come and pray this evening before we close in prayer? And everyone here. And God, you know what's on their heart tonight, and you know what you may be speaking to them about this evening, oh God. And tonight, if you have spoken to their heart and life about maybe an area, oh God, an area that they haven't given control over to you, oh God, and they know they're not entirely sanctified tonight, oh God. They know they're not fully yours tonight, oh God. Help them to realize that tonight, oh God. And help them, maybe even if it's not here tonight, help them to seek your face. Help them to pray and to cry out for you this evening, oh God. And I just ask that you will do a work in their heart and life, that they will know it for sure, that there will be a peace, that there will be a satisfaction, oh God. That we know that you have worked in their heart and life, oh God. We're thankful for the fact that you can bring us up to this road, bring us to this moment, oh God, and you can give us victory in this moment, give us peace and continue throughout the moment, oh God, as we serve you. And I just ask that you help us as individuals to be bold for you, oh God. Help us to be brave for you in each and every instance, oh God. Help us to serve you, oh God, even when the going may get tough. I ask that you will bless each and every one who is here tonight. Oh God, keep them as we go home throughout tomorrow. In your name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed this evening.